ארבעת הכנפות.
Okay. So the phrase in
Kishetse?
Shlach.
Yeah.
Is indefinite. It says the phrase in Shlach can be interpreted to mean if you've got at least four corners, you've got to have at least four corners.
Not from Shlach. Oh, alabak. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You've got to have at least four corners.
That would exclude three.
That would exclude three.
Right.
That's why they can't exclude three, but not exclude
That's
five.
That's correct. And why five is not excluded? Because when you go over there, Asher techasebo, any beggar that you will cover yourself. Meaning that if it's at least four, and maybe even more, and you still cover yourself, that it's still higher than arba kampos.
And if it says arba hakanfot, we would make exactly
yeah.
Only,
probably.
Only four.
Probably four, and that's it, not three, not five, and finish. Okay? Uma ani mekayem al arba kanfot kisuska. The answer is arba velo shalosh, just like you said. Four corners at least, and not three. Uma ra'isa l'rabos ba'alas chamesh. And why do you go ahead, Rabbanon, to include a beggar that has five corners, which is Chaya Betzitzis, Ulahotzi, and to exclude a three-cornered beggar, Bala Shalosh, that doesn't have tzitzis, need tzitzis? The answer is, Malbe Ani Ba'alas Chamesh, the reason that I go ahead and include five, okay, is because Sheyesh Biklal Chamesh Alba. Because in five corners, at least there are four. Umotzi ani ba'alas shalosh, and I exclude a three-cornered beggar, she'ein bichlal shalosh arba, because in three corners I still haven't reached the point of al arba kanfos kisusko, the way the pasuk wants. All right, now so we have this din with three and five. We know how Rabbanon played around in the psukim with it. The question is, what about Rav Shimon? But Rab Shimon says, Me'asher nafka. All right? The word asher, Rab Shimon says, is enough to let me know that din. Remember the pasuk? Kedilim ta'asher lecha? Al arba kanfos kisuscha? Asher techasher ba. Which you will use to go ahead and cover yourself. This is very verbose and extraordinarily weighty. Says Rav Shimon the Asher, if I needed a word to learn it from, it would be the Asher. That which I cover myself, even if it is five. But it cannot be three, even if I cover myself, because it hasn't reached Arba Kampos Kisuska. Okay? Continues the Gemara of Rabbanon, Hai Uri Isem also my Abdele. What about the Pasuk Uri Isem also? How does Rabbanon learn that? Libai Yalu Lichidetanya. Rabbanon, go ahead and use that Uri Isem also to extract the din as we learned in yet another Brisa. Uri Isem also Uzachartem, it says. Re'e Mitzvazo. When you will see this mitzvah, the mitzvah of tzitzis, at that time when you will see it, zechor mitzvah acheres, you've got to go ahead and remember another mitzvah, hateluya bo, which is intrinsically tied into the tzitzis. And you ask, ve'ezozo, and which mitzvah are we talking about? The mitzvah is zo kriyashma. The mitzvah is another mitzvah called kriyashma, as I told you at the beginning. We string three mitzvahs together. Once we put on a talis, we also have to put on what? Tefillin. Mm-hmm. And once we put on talis and tefillin, it's probably the same time as what? As the beginning of Zman Kriyat Shema. The beginning of Zman Kriyat Shema. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Brachos, Ve'emosai korinet Shema b'shacharis. When is the proper time to start saying Shema in Shacharis? Mishayakir ben techeles l'lavon. When you are capable of seeing the difference, Mishayakir, that key word is what we're at. Here is your category of time, the time called Mishayakir. When you're capable of distinguishing Bein Techeles L'Lavon. Tanya Idach, and we also learned another brisa based on this. Arisa Moshe Zecharten. Re'ei mitzvah zo. When you see this mitzvah of tzitzis, zechar mitzvah acheres hasemuchala. Remember also that there is another mitzvah semuchala, which is back to back, pasuk to pasuk. Ve'ezo zo. And which is that? Zo mitzvah kilayim. Reminds you of another mitzvah called kilayim dichasiv. Or it says in the pasuk right before, Lo silbasha atnei shemen u'pishtim yachdov, and immediately gedilim ta'aselecha. Tanya idach, we learned another brisa, the same topic, but approaching it just a little differently. The pasuk says, Arisem el so zachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. From which we learn, Kevon shenischayev adam b'mitzvah zo. When a person has to go ahead and start observing this mitzvah of tzitzis, nischayev b'chol mitzvahs kulam. It means that all mitzvah, he's required to go ahead and do all the mitzvahs. Well, it says there, right? Rishem oso uzachartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. That when tzitzis arrives, then you are at the same moment required to go ahead, so to speak, and you have a requirement to observe any and every other mitzvah at the same time. You know, within human bounds. Rav Shimon learns it entirely different. Rav Shimon hide amar mitzvah saseh shazman gromoi. Rav Shimon says that this mitzvah is a mitzvah saseh shazman gromoi, which in no way can go ahead and teach you about all the other mitzvahs. Tanya Idoch, we learned another brisa, approaching the pasuk in a different way. Reisem oso zechartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, says the brisa. From the words kol mitzvos Hashem, we learn that shekula mitzvah zo, this mitzvah is as weighty as keneged kol mitzvos kulam, as all the other mitzvos in the Torah. The Tanya Idoch. And we also learned another brisa, extracting meaning from this pasuk, or isem oso zechartem, va'asisem es kol mitzvos. The brisa tells us here, re'iyah, when you see, is nevi'ah lidei zechira. It helps you remember. Once you remember zechira, you remember what it's all about and why you are wearing the tzitzis, is nevi'ah lidei asiyah. It will go ahead and motivate you to do the mitzvos. Rab Shimon bar Yochai yomer, Rav Shimon bar Yochai added to this that kol hazariz b'mitzvah zol, one who is extraordinarily careful with this mitzvah, the string, the experience that it will set off is zocheh u'mekabel p'nei shechina. We'll go ahead and be able to have some kind of an experience to be able to understand face to face what the shechina is, because k'siv hocha, because here in our parsha it says u'reisem oso, you will see it, the tzitzis, u'chesiv hosom. And later on it says, Ef Hashem Elokecha tira, you will go ahead and tira. What does tira mean?
Fear.
You'll have fear. But what is the shoresh of tira?
See?
Alright, it's that. Okay, this yira will bring yira. You, this yira brings you to face to face with the Shechina. Alright? Yira from Roeh. Okay? Tira is like peer air. Yiras Hashem brings you to be able to get that mystical experience of being able to understand what the Shechina is. And just like when you see the tzitzis, and you go ahead as Hashem elokecha tirov osos avod, and you do the mitzvahs, that ultimately you will be able to see in a euphemistic way, you'll be able to see and perceive what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about.
Well, question. Does the seeing cause the yira, or does the yira cause the seeing?
Well, what he is seeing per se is a symbol, as we learned. First,
you could use the word perception.
Okay. First, there is the perception. From the perception, there's zechira, there's internalization of what the symbol means, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the symbol derive from? I'll tell you in a minute. And finally, from understanding where its derivative is, there is the asiya. There is the desire to accept the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon yourself. And once you accept the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon yourself, then you are a sitting duck for an experience of understanding the Shekhinah, of perceiving the Shekhinah, of being able to touch out, reach out, and do something. Now remember where the tzitzis came from. The tzitzis are directly involved with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Laman tizkeru, you've got to remember where the tzitzis came from. V'ashisem is kol mitzvosai, and then do all of my mitzvos. Why should I remember, and what should I remember in order to do all of your mitzvos? Remember that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I took you out of Mitzrayim, Asher Otzisicha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. And then 49 days later, you stood at Har Sinai. Now let me give you a little archaeological insight into tzitzis. Remember, it's archaeology. After all is said and done, the Rabbeinu Shalom had his reasons for giving us this mitzvah called tzitzis. But it is clear from archaeological records that every Kohen in Mitzrayim and every aristocrat in Mitzrayim had fringes on the corner of his and her begodim. More him than she. Okay? Every male Kohen and every royalty wore tzitzis on the fringes of a tunic, of an overcoat. Remember what Kodesh Baruch Hu promised us when he would take us out of Mitzrayim? He'd make us a mamlechas kohanim, a goy kodesh. And when we walked out of Mitzrayim, we went ahead and put tzitzis on our beggar, comes Kabbalah and tells us that we have to knot and coil the tzitzis in a certain way. That you remember a message. What are the messages? 10 knots, the equivalent of what? Yasser Sadibros, which is the whole Torah. And when you go ahead and coil, 7, 8, 11, and 13, that is exactly the gematria what? Hashem Echad. Okay? When you see that, you will remember that Ani Hashem Asher Otzeisi Eschem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Why did I take you out of Mitzrayim? So that you could stand at Har Sinai. And why did I ask you to stand at Har Sinai? That you will accept in the Na'as of Nishma all of Tariyat Mitzvahs. So when you understand all of this, yes, looking at the tzitzis, zechira of remembering, has got to bring you to a new and total commitment equivalent to the Na'as of Nishma that existed at Kabbalah Satorah and Har Sinai.
In all of that, when you began your explanation, you did not use the word Yirah once. No. So are you saying the final culmination of that is the concept of Yirah?
The concept of Yirah is the acceptance of the fact that we as Jews would not be here today unless it was the Rabbeinu Shalom who took us out of Mitzrayim and stood us at Har Sinai and has watched over us from that Har Sinai because of the Na'as of Nishma until the end of time. The Rambam and others say, when you can understand this, this should humble a human being, and this is what's called Yiras Hashem. You are right, I never used one word to intimate fear. That's tachat. I did use the word Yira, but I set up a case for awe, A-W-E, awesomeness. That the tzitzis remind us of Mitzrayim, and in my way, you know, I like archaeology, reminds us that here I am a Kohen in Hashem's army, who rejected the Kohanim of Mitzrayim, and the only way we were able to do that is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out, okay? I stand here today and I wear tzitzis. And I look at it with the 10 knots and the coils of Hashem Echad. Yud Kei Vov Kei Echad. What else? What would you call that? Fear? No, sir. It's called Yira. It's awe. Not pachad. Awe. That's what Yira Hashem is.
Same play, awe, if you can.
Yes.
In English?
No.
AWE means that you look at all of this, this whole cosmic experience, beginning with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you say to yourself, you can't begin to believe that you are part of this process, a little nothing like you. Tomorrow it can all be over, I don't know, something can happen, and yet we are part of this grand eternal process that started with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I'm on the team. That is a humbling experience. What does it humble you to? To say that there is really a tachlis, this whole message was for a purpose, and I'm part of that purpose, I'm part of that scheme.
If I use two English words,
yeah,
perception of grandeur.
That's correct.
Wouldn't that hook into the Rambam that you might be turning to now?
Yeah. Good. That's the point. That's correct.
Where he says, look up to the heavens, almost in Kantian fashion.
Yeah. That's it. The Rambam is the one who uses this. There are two kinds of yira. There is fear of punishment and pain. There is fear of deprivation. And there's yiras aromimus. There is the awe of this majesty. And you are part of it. On the one hand, you're so insignificant in this whole cosmos. And on the other hand, you're part of it. You perceive it. You see it.
So then observing the mitzvahs from yira and ahava, yira is not the opposite of ahava.
No.
They're not antonyms.
No.
They get along better in those terms.
Now, when you have a chance to look at Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam, he will put that yira and ahava in perspective. That yira here is somewhat of a fear that you're going to get punished, and you need it as a discipline until you understand this whole grand scheme of yiras aromimus and then ahava. Mm-hmm. You see, so it's only a prelude. It's like a training bicycle. But you're not going to stay on those training wheels all of your life as you mature and understand what this whole scheme is all about, what this cosmic message of Shmiras HaMitzvos and Ahavas Hashem is all about, then you will progress to the, to the 10 speeder.
Going back to your archaeological aside, the result is, to summarize what you said earlier, that both Tzitzis and Tefillin are Judaizations of Egyptian Minhagim, in effect.
Which to me is Kedusha.
Well, I understand that. But that's
to others it would be blasphemy.
It's mind-boggling in the sense that these are the physical, outward identifying marks of a Jew.
That's correct.
What you're saying is, they were originally in some other form,
uh-huh,
Egyptian institutions,
uh-huh,
almost the way you might say the music at a Jewish wedding came from East European Goyish sources, originally, somehow funneled through.
Jerry, you infer like with carbonas.
According to the Rambam.
I mean, all the ancient religions had carbonas.
Okay,
we had carbonas too. We took it to a much higher level, a higher spiritual level.
This is it. When tzitzis were put on a kohen in Mitzrayim, their tzitzis.
Yeah.
And when they wore these frontlets that established them as royalty, what did they do? They surely created a wonderful civilization. But there's one thing they didn't do there. They did not give the world the gift of a monotheistic God. Our Yetzias Mitzrayim, our leaving Egypt as a nation, we left with some interesting mitzvahs. Kemaasei Eretz Mitzrayim, chief amongst which, the way things were filtered and done, the way things were created, the hashkofa, the perception, Kemaasei Eretz Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem bo, which is avodah zarah, lo ta'asu, you will not do. because Paro made himself a god, he made the Nile a god, the Kohanim were gods. It was a sleight of the hand. The Khartoumim were the most important element over there. I want you to take those sigils and wear it on your begodim, because you're a mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh, and I want you to put the totafos bein einecho, okay, because you are a mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. Eila advorim asher diber, and these are the things that I told you to do, because I want you to show, I want to, you to show the world how you took these symbols and what an incredibly different meaning you gave to them. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's totally parav to wear tzitzis. So you wear a frontlet. Every queen and king wears a crown of some sorts. Okay? You wear your crown called tefillin. And this outfit called tzitzis, this soldier's garb, and look what you've done. You've given birth to all of civilization, as opposed to the hedonistic Avodah Zarah, self-centered Avodah Zarah. That's Kedusha. Okay? To be able to take something and transform it into the exact opposite of what it meant there is the Jew saying to himself that this is where I am turning my back on all of civilization, which is Avodah Zarah.
Then could you even say the strimal on a lesser degree was the same thing?
The psychological processes were
to it.
The whole position garb was, they adopted as their standard garb the garb that the upper class, the landowners, the wealthy people wore in Eastern Europe at the time when they were being founded, when the various specific groups were being started. Okay, because they were going to look like royalty, certainly the gentry.
I wonder where you got that.
McCussin.
I thought so. Do you know where the strimal does come from?
No.
Okay. There is specific legislation in Russia at various times that a Jew was not allowed to own any furs because there weren't enough furs to go around for the broad Russian population. In order to live and exist in those tundras and 40 degrees below zero centigrade, you need the animal skins. You cannot make a very good fur coat out of the tails. You cannot make a very good coat out of the tails. And the law said that the tails could be used by the Jew. And so the Jews went ahead and they took the tails, and you know where they put it? Around the hat. It was given to them as a badge of shame. And they had to wear it. And they said, we are going to convert this from a badge of shame to a badge of glory. And we'll wear it only on Shabbos and only on Yom Tov. You see. I hear what you're saying. There's probably little proof. If you look into fashions and the history of clothing and garb, there is almost no proof that this was the gentrification of clothing. It wasn't. Everyone was dressed that way, except the strimal per se.
Well,
the strimal was. This is without question very tender Hasidus. It may not reflect historical reality. Okay? And probably it's the same thing over here. That we broke away from the Kohanim. We revolted against the aristocracy over there. Only to do one thing. To take every symbol in life, the symbol of godliness and the symbol of aristocracy and the symbol of religiosity and of priesthood and of royalty, and completely transform it with a new, you know, with a new perspective. This is tzitzis. To my mind, I'm not asking, again, I leave it as an archaeological aside, to my mind, when I learned that archaeological tidbit, when I saw it, it just made tzitzis for me so much more meaningful. It fit in so Because the whole revolution of Mitzrayim was that we broke away. You know, v'lokachti Hashem li la'om. Rabbanu Shalom takes us, just scoops us up, and it's the li, to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you will be loyal, and not to the rest of civilization. And Egypt at that time was the highest civilization, the highest order of civilization. What's there to talk about? And we cannot hate the Egyptians because of their high order of civilization and civility that allowed us to function. We couldn't have functioned in Canaan. We had to go down to Mitzrayim.
Rabbi, would that be another reason why the kahuna was given to Levium as opposed to the firstborn? Because that was the way it was done in Mitzrayim?
It was given to the Bechorim before. If the Bechorim didn't mess up in the Egel Hazor, probably there would have been Olivim.
But the Bechorim didn't do any worse than anybody else did.
Yes, but Bechorim were expected to do better than everyone else. As Levi did emerge, as Shevet Levi did. Mm-hmm. And they did better than everyone else. Now, I, at least I don't see it. And, you know, unless you're going to show me a more solid connection over there, it doesn't hit me as such. Mm. Okay, one Gemara. Let's take a look at Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi, towards the end of Halacha Zayin, in Perek Rishon of Kiddushin. Gemara asks, "Ezo hi mitzvah saseh shehazman grama?" What is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama? Give me an example. Kegon, examples are sukkah, shofar, lulav, tefillin. You notice what's not on the list. What's not on the list? Did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, no. Okay, you didn't see it. So the Gemara continues. Which are examples of mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama? Kegon, here are some examples. It's a brisa. Number one, aveda, meaning that you have to return a lost article. Number two, shiluah hakan. You have to go ahead and observe the mitzvah if you want to take eggs and the mother is roosting over the eggs. You'll have to send the mother away. Number three is ma'akeh. If you have a platform, a room, or anything that are some 10 tefachim off of the ground and someone can fall off and break a foot, you'll have to build a fence around it. And number four is tzitzis. Whereupon, the Braisa here continues, Rabbi Shimon poteres anashim min tzitzis. Rabbi Shimon refuses to accept the fact that tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama, but rather it is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Why? Shehi mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Omar lahem Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said to his colleagues, Ein atem modim li shehi mitzvah saseh shehazman grama? Is there any which way that you can hold out and say that tzitzis is a mitzvah that isn't time bound? Sha'arei ksus laila potur min tzitzis. We learned that ksus laila has absolutely nothing to do with tzitzis. You're not required to wear tzitzis. Omar Rav Hela explained, ta'amon de rabbanin, the reason of rabbanon, that they hold that tzitzis is not a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, tzitzis shehazman grama. Shekein im hayu miyuchados lo layom v'lay laila. For indeed, if there is a beged that had to be worn both a day and that night, or night and day, shehi chayeves tzitzis, that it would be required to have tzitzis. Okay? Which would indicate that it is not a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Something that's worn day and night requiring tzitzis means that it has nothing to do, not time bound at all. This is where we have to, it's with this that we have to stop and now reconsider once again, relearn once again, what the Aruch HaShulchan understood. From the Yerushalmi, the understanding is that tzitzis, without question, according to Rabbi Shimon, is what?
Mitzvah
Shas Hazman Gram. And from Babli, it's not entirely clear. It's Mitzvah Shasei Shazman Gram, there's no question about it. But where do we focus our attention more? On Uri Isim also, or on Asher Ta'aselach, the Kisus? If you remember the Babli, the whole conversation that we were talking about was Kisus Suma, and Kisus Laila, and Kisus of Sholosh Kanfos, and Chamisha, five Kanfos. We learned almost a whole Omud in Babli. Comes the Rosh and say, what are you supposed to focus your attention on? Kisus. All right, and there's no question about it that we paskin like Rav Shimon, that it's mitzvah saseh shazman groma. But we have to look at it through the view of what? Of ksus, of when you wear that beged. Ksus yom is one thing, and ksus laila is another thing. That's the Rosh. And the Rambam says here, we have to take a look entirely at this Yerushalmi, and the Sifri follows along. And when you look at it, and you back up at this Yerushalmi, what are you talking about? Ksus isn't so... I mean, you're not talking about ksus here. You're talking about zman. Whether it is or it isn't a time mitzvah. And when we have to look at the Yerushalmi, obviously we're going to have to arrive at a conclusion. Are we going to conclude like Rabbonon that it is not a mitzvah sasei zman grama, or like Rab Shimon? And the answer is that we paskin according to Rab Shimon, even though he is a yochid against the rabbin, for very good reason. Because indeed... we have the pasuk uri isem also uzachartem uri isem, and that is a time bound mitzvah. Didn't say that.
Yeah,
however, the way the conversation was recorded in Yerushalmi and the way it was discussed in Babli, you are looking at an optical illusion. That's why the Ramah comes and says, "Hey, we've got to some which way understand." That we've got to blend these two shitas. There are times when we have to look at the Rambam and the Rosh and indicate to ourselves when we go through it that these are two valid shitas. You blink once and you see the weight of the Rambam, which is Zman. You blink another time and you see the argument of the Rosh, which there's so much here that's built into Kisus, Kisus, Kisus. That's what determines it. And the kesus has to be filtered through time. Is it a kesus yom? Is it a kesus lila? Or is it a kesus yom and lila? They knew it. They both knew the same thing. But in Yerushalmi, they emphasize one way, and Babli, they emphasize another way. And this is what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. And therefore, you can understand the din of the Ramah of when there are times that you don't make a bracha. If you wear a kesus yom, at night, you've got to blend the two shitas. And remember that with a bracha, you're not going to play around, especially with the Rambam. Because a bracha, she'einot tzericha, is a bracha levatala, and it's an isa d'oraisa. So you have to consider both of them. I began to tell you, and the Gemara intimated, that once we talk about the word mishayakir, we have to take a look at it in two dimensions. Number one, let's identify it on a clock. I'll give you that identification mark. Somewhere is when the sun is between 11 to 12 degrees depressed below the horizon, for which I'll give you a chart now, and you'll see. Secondly, once we say Mishayakir, once you're capable of seeing, it sets off a string of not only tzitzis, but it is the same zman for tefillin, and as we learned, it is also the same zman for Kriyat Shema. So we arrive at a concept of zman called Mishayakir, which is the time of tefillin, time of tzitzis, and the time of Kriyat Shema. That is probably l'chatchila. B'di'evan, it can be earlier, even Amud HaShachar, which in Mirtz Hashem we will see when we now go into tefillin, the next siman, which is siman lamed, in Mishnah Berurah, and then we will be able to
to get the entire string and understand how one is derived from the other. Now let's take a look at the Zmanim chart that we have published for Pesach.